The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
morning, everyone. My name's Andrew, for those of you who don't know me, and stepping in this morning while Matt's away. And we're continuing in the series on our I've forgotten even the title of our series. That's not a good start, is it? Something about a slow spirituality in a fast-paced world. And we've got to the stage of living thankfully. And Matt gave me the passage that we've just read, the well-known passage of the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you ever listen to Radio 4 in the mornings. On a Saturday morning, I sometimes do. And there's a Saturday Live program introduced by the Reverend Richard Coles, who some of you will know used to be the keyboard player with the 80s band, the Communards. So that's an interesting career move. Anyway, and Asma Mia. And in that program, they have a slot. It's a really good slot, about halfway through. And it's a thank you slot where listeners can phone in, they can leave a message, where they can say thank you to someone who's helped them in the past. And often the listener never actually knows or never knew the name of the person who thanked them. And it can be a very powerful 2 or 3 minutes of radio as you listen to someone saying thank you to a stranger who has helped them maybe several years ago. And it's obviously stuck with them. And that's very powerful as it comes over the airwaves. Living thankfully. It's good to give thanks. It's good to be thankful. I must admit, when Matt gave me the passage for this morning a couple of weeks ago, I took a double take, the Lord's Prayer. I had a quick read through. I thought, I can't see anything really obvious about thanking in that. Emailed him back, saying, are you sure? It was Matthew chapter 6. He emailed back, said, yes. I thought, okay, right. Well, I like a challenge. Where do we start then? Where do we start? So as ever, you start at the beginning, Our Father. And then it sort of clicked, and I thought, right, there's actually a lot in the Lord's Prayer. If we stand back and we don't pray through it, we just look at it as a piece of writing, there's a lot in there that can prompt us and help us to think about being thankful, mainly in our giving our thanks to God, but also to each other. Right, I'm going to see if this clicker works. Which way around is it? Fantastic. Our Father. So I like the way the Lord's Prayer starts that way. It doesn't start, Master. It doesn't start, O great and terrible creator of the universe. It doesn't start, O vengeful one, whom we should be deeply afraid of. It starts, Our Father. Our Father. There's something to be thankful there to start with. Father brings through an image of someone who's caring, someone who is our guide, someone who is our protector, and will watch over us. And it brought to mind, in my mind anyway, these well-known verses in Romans chapter 8, 14 to 15. I'll just read them out, although you'll see them on the screen there. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So, whenever I read that, I always start humming something like knowing me, knowing you, and then about to go, aha. Ever since I was a young boy, growing up in the 70s, up in Geordieland, Abba, I think it's Aramaic or Syrian or whatever the local language was there, just a word for dad. That's amazing, isn't it? For giving thanks to start off our prayer, our Father. We're talking to our dad. Now, I know that for many people, families on this earth are not always the greatest role models for parent-children relationship. And for some of you, that may be very difficult when you're calling to mind a role model and you may not have had actually a role model. It may have been an absent father, or it may have been a father who was with you, but not the ideal. And speaking as a parent, I have my full share of parental guilt when I get things wrong. But let's start off our time of giving thanks to God by just recognizing he is the ultimate role model as a father. And we start off by saying thank you to our Father. We are praying to our Father, this caring guide and protector. And we go on. What should we give thanks for? Last week, I went to the cinema with Kate, my younger daughter, and my father, so three generations, down to Rubri, and we saw the film The Martian. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's about a chap who gets stranded, played by Matt Damon, based on a book, and he gets stranded on Mars sometime in the future. Earthly mission of astronauts, they go off to Mars. Something happens. I don't want to give too many spoilers away if you haven't seen it. Great film. 12A, suitable for families. Couple of rude words at the beginning. Had to put my hands over Kate's ears. But she hears far worse at KNGS every day. Anyway, if you get over the rude words, great film. This poor chap, Matt Damon, stranded on Mars. It's going to take a long time for him to get rescued. In trouble. Doesn't have enough of his space astronaut ration packs to last for long. And so, without saying too much, some seed potatoes are crucial to his survival. And I really like that in the film. You've got all this space-age kit. It's set sometime in the future, maybe 100 years or so in the future, I don't know. You've got a lot of tech there. They've got this fantastic space station on Mars, astronauts, all the gear. And it's just a little bit of nature. It's a little bit of creation that helps them save the day without giving too much away. Go and see the film if you want. It's great. And I really like that. And it just made me think, give us this day our daily bread. We have so much around us. We've got all the gizmos. We have the iPads, the iPods, whatever, the jiggery pokery these days. And yet often we forget how long we can survive, which is not very long, without our daily bread. So much to be thankful for in just that simple provision from God through creation of water, of bread. And I'm just glancing around, there's probably at least one baker in the room here. Our daily bread. There's a disconnect sometimes in our modern life, I think, between what we see on the table and thinking where it comes from. So there's that well-known phrase in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. But do we give thanks to Jehovah Jireh, or do we give thanks to Tesco's, our provider? There's a big disconnect there. We live in an urban environment. We're not farmers. There may well be some people who grew up on farms or in the countryside here. But for a lot of us, there is a disconnect. And it was just good in this, that film just triggered in my mind. We are so reliant on God's creation. And it is a good creation. There's lots to be thankful for there. Of course, there are those who don't have enough. There will be people going hungry in Birmingham, in most of the UK, and certainly in other parts of the world. And it is very good, and part of our being thankful, to remember those who don't have enough. And speaking now, shifting my roles from lawyer to trustee of Birmingham City Mission, which I am one of the trustees, thank you so much to everyone who has brought stuff today to go to the food bank for BCM, and for those of you who give regularly to the food bank here in Sturchley. Fantastic. And I actually believe that's another way of saying thank you to God, and thank you to each other for God's creation and his provision. If we have more than enough, it's good to share. It's good to give to others. And maybe that is God's way of providing for other people in their time of need, through you and through me. And for that, we can also be thankful that we are working out, or God is helping us and using us to work out his processes in this world. So we go on in the Lord's Prayer, my challenge to find things to be thankful for. Not far to look. I won't go through the Lord's Prayer line by line, you'll be pleased to know. We won't be here for hours. Forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. It's good to forgive. It's good to be forgiven. If we get things wrong, if we hurt people, it's very hard to carry on if we are not forgiven and if we don't forgive. In families and with friends, and even, dare I say it, at the workplace, which we're talking about at our life group, it is good, if possible, to forgive and be forgiven. There's that bit in the great hymn about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think it's in verse 5, where it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. It is good to forgive and be forgiven, something we can be very thankful for. Who needs forgiveness? I've just jotted down a few Bible verses there. Thank you. Hands going up. Yeah, they're ahead of me. You look a decent bunch to me. You look all right. You know, I don't think there's many people with criminal records here. I had a speeding fine a few years ago. I thought it was a 40-mile-an-hour limit. Ah, Leicester. I'm never driving through Leicester again. Oh. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. As many of you know, we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's our starting place as Christians. Who needs forgiveness? We all do. It puts us right. Forgiveness puts us right. It helps us to go on. As in the same way with our friends and family, we need forgiveness to go on in our daily lives with them, or else you get into grudges, you get into bitterness, and it really doesn't work for very long. So with God, our Father, we need his forgiveness. If we wrong him, if we upset him, then he is our family as well. And we need to say sorry and ask for his forgiveness. I could have put loads of verses down, but I'll just read these two out again from, they're on the overhead there. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then you go through to the verse in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Well-known verses from the New Testament writings. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I always think it's good to remember that God doesn't condone our sin, our wrongdoing. Just as we, probably as parents or with others we love, we don't necessarily condone them. Forgiveness is not condoning. There's a phrase, I think it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer or maybe other theologians used. It's not cheap grace. God's forgiveness to us is free, but it is paid for with the highest of prices. I always think it's good to try and just work through this and try and understand it. Well, for me anyway, I'm a lawyer. I like to understand things. I like to work them through. So I'm going to try in a couple of minutes just to sum up what this means to me, this idea of grace and how it works through for me. There are going to be many ways, other ways of explaining this, many other ways of understanding it, but this is how it works for me. A few years ago, or 10 or 20 years ago, there was a sort of small comedy troupe went around the Reduced Shakespeare Company. They tried to reduce Shakespeare plays to about 2 or 3 minutes. So forgive me for this. I'm going to try and reduce the gospel of Christ to 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to miss out loads of things, but it's how it helps me, how it helps me understand it. So on the one side, it's a good start. We have a perfect, loving God. And on the other side, we have us, humanity. We are not perfect. We are far from it. But God still loves us so much. We are like oil and water. We don't mix. Perfect God, very imperfect humanity. Hands going up earlier, we recognize that. Oil and water. God still loves us so much. He doesn't want to lose us, though. He doesn't want to be apart from us. That's a problem. How can we be with God? It's like light and darkness. They don't really exist in the same space. Pure light, pure dark. They don't mingle. You can't put them together. How can we be put right? How can we be set free from the darkness inside us, the wrongs and the hurt that we do? Can God just pretend none of it happened and condone us in our wrongdoing? But then we just carry on and on. In his presence, we'd still be doing wrong. And it wouldn't work. We'd be back to oil and water not mixing. Light and dark not mixing. They don't mix. Our wrongdoing, our faults, our lies, our pride, our jealousy, our unfaithfulness means we are guilty. There's a sentence hanging over us, over each of us. A price on our heads, if you like. Separation from God through our sin and through our wrongdoing. So God has a plan. God had a plan. That sentence on us will be carried out. That price of punishment will be paid. He will not condone our wrongdoing. But the sentence of death and separation will be on his son, on Jesus, the one who actually did no wrong. The price on us is paid by Jesus on a cross. We, the guilty ones, go free. And we can be put right with God. We can be with him. All he asks is that we turn to him, confess our sins, and ask his forgiveness. I'll read one more verse on this little section. I didn't put it up here. It's another well-known verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There is much to be thankful for in that part of the Lord's Prayer. Much to be thankful for. Moving on. Deliver us from evil. Next bit to be thankful for. Is it an even battle, good versus evil, in the Bible, in our Christian life? Are Jesus and Satan equally matched? Is it like, I don't know, a Marvel film, The Avengers? Is it like Gandalf and Sauron in The Lord of the Rings, whatever your chosen mythology or new mythology is? Well, the answer very firmly is no. And this passage in Philippians, part of a great modern, well, a great hymn at the time in the New Testament, a couple of verses there, talking about Jesus, Paul writes, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The ultimate victory, ladies and gentlemen, is with Jesus. It is with God. The victory is assured. There is no doubt about that. We have a rough road ahead of us, though. The victory is not completely worked out in this world, in this earth. We are in a struggle. And what I would say is, along the journey and our lives here on earth, do not put yourselves in harm's way. The prayer is, lead us not into temptation. Do not seek out things we should not seek out. Even though we know Christ has won the victory, we know that good triumphs over evil. Do not put yourselves in harm's way. There are many things that draw us away from God, if we wanted to, or that could draw us away. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Many of you know what they are. We know our own weaknesses. I would just say one thing. In terms of don't put yourself in harm's way, I'm not sure I need to mention this, but I will do. I was just thinking about it this week, from times gone past, people I know. Just avoid anything to do with what you might call the occult. Just avoid anything like that. I probably don't need to say this, but if there's anyone here who is just thinking about that, it can start off slightly interesting, slightly enticing. It can have a certain frisson to it, a certain glamour. Just please avoid it, steer clear of it. It's a trap and a snare for the unwary, and it will lead you into a place of darkness. And it is hard to escape. Don't go down that road, please. There are times when it's hard to be thankful, though. Times when it is very difficult. Sometimes we feel we don't have much to be thankful for. Things are not going well with us. We don't understand. What is God doing? And if we are preaching, if I'm preaching a sermon on being thankful, I have to recognize that sometimes it is difficult. It's not always easy. If you've been a Christian for a long time, I've been a Christian for a few years, it doesn't get any easier. Things get tough in our daily lives. I don't have all the answers. Of course I don't. Last week's vote didn't change that one little bit. I only have very partial answers, if any. I'll offer a couple of things. Our time is short this morning. A couple of things. If these can be of encouragement to you, take them away. If not, you come and tell me how to cope with it when it's really difficult, because we're learning about this together. I do not have all the answers here. The first one's a bit lighthearted. I'm trying to get a serious point across. The second one's, yeah, maybe a bit not so much. Right. Back in the 70s, growing up, as I said, in Newcastle, I used to watch Star Trek. I liked Star Trek. I watched the other film, the new films. I've watched them, the J.J. Abrams ones with Kate. We love them. We're great. I'm not a complete Trekkie, but I like it. And after a hard day's intergalactic, going boldly where no one had gone before, Mr. Spock would sometimes sit down and play a game of 3D chess back in that original series. I haven't seen it in the latest films. And that I've remembered that from when I was a little boy. I was never the greatest chess player, but it always bamboozled me. How could you play 3D chess? You've got to be pretty clever. And I sometimes think, forgive me if this analogy isn't working for you, but it works for me. We don't always know what's going on in our lives. We want things to happen a certain way. We want God to do this for us. I'd quite like to wake up and have a Maserati in my front drive, but it's not going to happen. If I pray to God, I know that's not going to happen. We don't always know how God is working his plans. We can't see how things interlink. If we want something, maybe God knows, that would have very bad consequences in another way. God sees all. His plans see all. And to me, it's a bit like if we had multi-tiered 3D chess. I want to move my pawn that way. And if I do, if we played multi-tiered 3D chess, there might be consequences I couldn't see. And someone could bring me into check on several tiers up. And I sometimes think that's a bit like us and God's planning. We want things to go one way. God can see way up the multi-tiered chessboard and say, well, no, that's not going to work out for you. That's going to be a real problem for you. I'm going to have to steer you, Andrew, another way. And sometimes when it's difficult to be thankful to God, we forget that God knows more than we do. He knows what is best for us, and he might just be steering us another way and another path, because we could get into a real mess if we're the ones directing our lives how we want to. I appreciate that may be a rather tortuous analogy for some and may not actually help you at all. And there may be times when these sorts of kinds of analogies really are not what cuts the mustard. You may be in a time of bereavement, a time of loss, a time of hurting. Things may be going wrong with your family, with those who are loved by you dearly. They may be suffering, as well as you may be suffering. And then, okay, forget my silly analogies. Forget that. And then I was thinking about this prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And thinking, who else prayed that kind of prayer? And when he prayed it, if our clicker works. And I was thinking of the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, along the lines of, "Take this cup from me, Father, yet not my will, but yours." And I thought, I can't give you all the answers. I don't know why people go through really tough times, whether it's family troubles, whether it's redundancies, whether it's bereavement and loss when you're not expecting it. But what I can say to you this morning is, the Jesus I follow has been there before and has known what it is to suffer loss and bereavement and separation and heartache. And when it was not what he wanted necessarily, but was happy to go through with it, or was trusting in his Father to go through with it. The feet of Jesus would have walked on the sun-kissed shores of the Lake of Galilee and would have enjoyed cool evenings by those waters. Those same feet walked from Jerusalem city centre to Golgotha, to Calvary's hill, bearing a cross. And those same feet of Jesus, that same Jesus, I believe, is with us every step of the way, whether we are in times of plenty, whether we walk through the noonday sun, or whether we are in times of hardship and it seems as though we walk through darkest night. Jesus is with us, and he has been there before in spades, and that is the Jesus who will encourage us and be with us and not forsake us. And finally, our time is drawing to a close. It's not actually in the Matthew prayer, but at the end of the Lord's Prayer, forever and ever, amen. We have much to be thankful for, from God and from each other. Not least that our time on earth is only just the beginning of our walk with our God, our Father. And as Alison read at the start of the service, no forward planning here between us, I thought I'd end with those, probably the best known verse in the Bible. Always worth saying this a couple of times in a church service. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have much to be thankful for. Amen.